Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A narrative rewritten is a collection of Micaiah Walker's poems, reflections, letters, and blog entries that touch on the topics of hurt, healing, and hope around sexual abuse and incest. These writings are formatted to guide the reader through the dredges of hurt into the light of a healing, hopeful heart. The book was written to help other survivors not feel as alone. Micaiah proudly identifies as Black, queer, non-binary, neurodivergent, and works as a licensed clinical social worker. Micaiah owns her own private practice and offers therapy and consulting coaching services to individuals and couples, those in non-traditional relationship dynamics, including poly, kink, and BDSM. She works closely with the deaf and hard of hearing community as a signing therapist. They identify as an advocate for queer, Black, Indigenous, and people of color and disability communities. Micaiah Walker, author of A Narrative Rewritten, a collection of personal writings for adult survivors of child incest and sexual abuse, is our guest on This Week in America. Micaiah, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks, Rick. I'm happy to be here.
This is such an important topic, and you've done an excellent job in using you as an example. We'll talk about what that was like as we go through the conversation, but let's start with, I mentioned it's a collection of poems. You've got reflections, letters, blog entries. You've got a mixture in there. What inspired you to put these together, these different forms, to make this book A Narrative Rewritten?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. I love that question because the way the combination of like poems, blogs, et cetera, is how my brain works. As a neurodivergent individual, sometimes I think in pictures and movement and music, and sometimes I think in words. So the things that come up as pictures or movement are more easily described in poem form. And then narrative form is when I actually have like a fully fledged story fleshed out in my head.
Okay.
So it was a nice combination of all of the thoughts and the way that my brain naturally works.
And it makes for interesting reading the way it's laid out. As I mentioned, it's a guide. It walks you through. We'll talk about that during the course of the interview. The book is available, by the way, wherever books are sold, A Narrative Rewritten, a collection of personal writings for adult survivors of childhood incest and sexual abuse. I'll give you her website as well here in a few minutes. The book deals directly with sexual abuse, incest, subjects, well, they're deeply painful, often silenced. How did you find the courage to share these experiences publicly? How difficult was this for you?
So I wrote this book initially 10 years ago, and it was very difficult when I wrote it because this is not something that I was used to talking about or sharing with other people. But it was clearly a story that was important and something to share because I was taking a writing boot camp at the time. And we were just being told to write things based on different prompts. So it wasn't very specific at all, but these were the things that were coming out of me at the time. So it wasn't necessarily difficult to write the actual writing part, but what I was writing about felt very, very hard. So I externalized it for myself by writing it under a pseudonym. And that helped make it easier because I felt like I was writing about a different person, not myself.
How have you changed over the years from the time that this became a project you were working on in 2015 to the publication now? How have you changed?
Great question. So in that 10 years, I've done so much healing, so much growing, so much more sharing of myself with other people to be able to see how this story does impact people in a way that allows them to feel like they can tell their stories or like they can share or process some of their deeper hurts, their deeper traumas. So for me to be able to look back on what I'd written 10 years ago, republish it now with the knowledge and the healing that I have, that's why I was able to add an intro to each section. Those are not in the original book, but the intros provide a little bit more clarity around what I was trying to communicate in each section. And I was only able to do that after these 10 years of like therapy, talking to people, making new connections,
yes,
families, friends, etc.
You've structured the book in an interesting way to guide the readers from hurt into healing and hope. How intentional was the progression? Why was it important for you to create this journey? You describe it as sort of a stepping stone, and that's really what you have here for us, isn't it?
Yes. And so, again, that's kind of how my brain works. Again, this was a very following prompts. It wasn't necessarily supposed to be structured specifically, but as I was gathering the works and reading through them, I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense to put it in this particular order. And I wanted people to end the book with something positive, in a like a forward looking motion. So that's why hope is at the end, because we can go from places of hurt. And when we start healing, there is hope at the end of that, but we have to start the healing process. So you have to move through the hurt, or at least acknowledge it, call it by its name, to be able to get to the next step.
Micaiah Walker is our guest on the program. The book is A Narrative Rewritten. You'll find the book wherever books are sold, including GothamBooksLLC.com. That's the publisher. Micaiah's website is MicaiahWalker.GothamBooksInc.com. Micaiah is MicaiA. All of that is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Go there, click on, and go directly to her website and be able to pick up great information, order the book there as well. Survivors of trauma often feel isolated. How do you hope your words will help other survivors feel less alone and maybe not go through all the pain that you went through?
Yeah, so that's one reason why I made sure to include the word incest in the subtitle.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of, as a therapist, I've worked with a lot of survivors of sexual assault, and there's a lot of language around people outside of families assaulting people, people outside of families molesting people, but within families, especially biologically related, I didn't see a lot of that coming up, or at least a lot of people talking about that, because of the additional shame of the fact that this person is related to me. This person was maybe my parent, my uncle, my sibling. So I wanted it to be very explicit from even before they open the book that this book is going to be about a population that doesn't necessarily get spotlighted and doesn't necessarily get the amount of attention, in order for people to feel like I'm not the only one.
Interesting coming up with that. What kind of response have you been getting with that approach and reaching out to that particular group of people that maybe have been somewhat overlooked in the past?
It's been really interesting because, again, when I was writing this, it was more me getting something out of myself. And I didn't necessarily think about the impact that it was going to have on other people. Since republishing it under my own name and having actually shared it with my personal community, I've had people reach out to me expressing how it's impacted them or how they've been able to bring things up in their own therapy or process things in their own life based on some of the things that I've written. So it actually, I am already seeing it do what I thought it would, what I hoped it would do anyway, which is helping survivors feel less alone.
The book is available wherever books are sold. And we've got the websites on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Click on directly to Micaiah's website. You'll be able to get information, order the book there as well. Talked about the concept of poetry and prose, how your mind works and how it's expressive and how this seems to be resonating with the readers. Talk about, does this give you an opportunity to maybe express your story differently using both of these forms rather than just relying on one to get the message across?
Yes. So again, the way that my brain works can be super visual sometimes. And so it was really nice to be able to include poetry, because sometimes what happens is when I have a thought, it's just a sentence that goes back and forth in my mind. That's not something that I can easily describe, but in poetry, it makes more sense. So there are some things that are, they didn't necessarily have language. It's a flash of an image, a memory, et cetera. And you can't really, for me, I couldn't really break that down into narrative form. But then there are very specific stories, memories, things I want to say that makes the most sense in narrative form. So it actually really, I feel like, encapsulated a lot of my experience growing up, as because it, I'm talking a lot about childhood experiences, and when you're a child, you don't necessarily have the words for things that you're going
yes.
through or for feelings. And so a lot of those things that I didn't have words for came out in the poems that are in the book.
Many of your writings come from personal reflections, as you've talked about, from personal letters, blog entries that you've done. How did revisiting these older pieces of information, What did they do? How emotional was it going back and editing that? We touched on this before, but I want to go back to that because that's so important. The fact that you were able to go back and go through maybe the pain of resurrecting some of this, but doing it for the good of other people so they can be guided through problems that you went through. How difficult was it to go back? Were there times when you had to just stop because the emotion was getting too intense?
Honestly, it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be because I was able to look at it and see how far I've come from when I initially wrote this. It was very emotional, but it was also a really great way to like mark the progress that I have made in my ability to share this story and my ability to process things and my ability to revisit. And so when I added the introductions to each part, that was really my way of processing, okay, this has been 10 years since I wrote this. This is what I would like to add, or this is what makes the most sense to put in this particular spot of where I hoped it would be when I wrote this book.
I mentioned the personal recollections, the reflections, the letters, the blog entries. How important is that for people to maybe keep a log of what they're going through? Were you able to do that as you were going through this process, or this something you went back and recreated later?
Yes. So I am an avid reader and writer. I do a lot of journaling and such. So I'm constantly documenting different parts of my life. And so it can be really nice sometimes to just go back and reread, like,
yes,
where was my life in like 5 years from now? Like, what was I doing? So I always have something documented, even if it's not something that I'm actively thinking about in the moment of like, okay, this is going to be important for me to remember. Sometimes I just want to write it down.
Does writing it down, is that helpful? Do you feel differently after you've written it down? You've looked at it, you've gone through the emotion of that. Does that help you in the healing process?
It does. It addresses something that I tell people all the time, which is putting a name to it. So sometimes you don't have the words for it until you start writing. And then something comes out and you're like, oh, that's what I was experiencing, or that's what I was processing. And I didn't really know it until I took the time to actually sit with it and write. And I often encourage people to write handwritten versus typing, because it gives your brain a chance to slow down and really go through what you want to say and what is coming up for you in your body.
That's interesting, isn't it? I think that's maybe in all aspects of our lives, it's a different feeling when you write it down. It's a different emotion, isn't it? Rather than just to let your fingers do the writing.
Right, exactly.
The book we're talking about is available wherever books are sold, A Narrative Rewritten, a collection of personal writings for adult survivors of childhood incest and sexual abuse. Makaya Walker is our guest on the program. The book available wherever books are sold, published by Gotham Books, Inc. We've got links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Makaya's website is makayawalker.gothambooksinc.com. And the books are available there, and we'll get all the information out to you. Just go to our website, and we'll take care of that. And you can just do a click and get there and get information on the book that's helping so many people. You were open about the fact that some of the content that you wrote about may be triggering. How do you go about approaching that, writing about trauma in a way that's honest but mindful of the reader's emotional safety as they're going through this? How difficult was that balance?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So as a therapist, I think naturally there's some training around having conversations about hard things in a way that is supposed to do the least amount of harm. And so one of the things that we talk about is not necessarily using too specific language. So for me, to tell my story, obviously I needed to use details and share things that are specific to me, but minimizing the amount of things I shared so that it wouldn't be a total flooding or a total revisiting of that traumatic moment. So it is a fine line to walk. It is a hard balance to share a story that needs to be told honestly, but to make sure that you're doing the least amount of harm. So one of the things that I try to keep in mind is just the amount of information or the amount of detail that is included in what I'm sharing.
It's interesting you talked about that 10-year period from the time you wrote until the republished book that's out now, the book available wherever books are sold, a republished, edited version you originally released under a pseudonym. You talked about that before, and that's interesting. What has changed in your perspective, sense of self, since that first publication? How much have you grown during this period?
Oh, so much growth. I think one of the biggest differences between 10 years ago and now is that I really own my story, that I'm really like aware of how it's shaped me and the things that I've been able to gain based on the experiences that I've had and the way that I've been able to relate to people that I wouldn't have been able to if I hadn't gone through the things that I'd gone through. Whereas when I initially wrote this 10 years ago, I wanted nothing to do with it. It's ironic, but I wrote it, I got it out of me, and then I didn't want it to be connected to me at all, which is why I used a different name. And I didn't tell anybody that I'd published it, and it was just like this little book somewhere on an obscure website, and I was okay with that.
And helping people.
Now,
it was just going to say helping people in the process, but now, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's, I feel like it's important for people to know it's my story and to share it from my own voice.
Well, and you mentioned you didn't want others to think you might be broken or sick. How difficult is it to get rid of that feeling? I'm sure it's a feeling that many others go through as well. How difficult is that to cast that aside and to go forward with a very positive self-esteem?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's a difficult thing to accomplish. It requires a lot of practice and self-talk because at the end of the day, you're the only one that can tell yourself that you're not broken. Because other people's opinions, yes, they're going to have them, and yes, they're going to impact you. But at the end of the day, you're with yourself 24/7. So the person that you have to convince, the person that really needs to know that you're not broken, that you're not sick, that there's nothing wrong with you, that this is something that happened to you, is you. And once you're able to do that and tell your brain that and really take it in, you're able to take the next steps towards healing and integration and starting to see the beautiful parts of yourself as well.
You talk about sense of self as well. I just mentioned that in your reevaluation during this 10-year period. How difficult is it to have a positive sense of self? How do you get that? How difficult is it to attain that?
It's pretty difficult. I think one of the things, and I'm glitching through the book now because I think I have a poem about this actually.
Oh, good.
I just saw it. It's actually the name of the book, A Narrative Rewritten. So this is the poem. I wrote, angry, damaged, alone. You replied, raw, honest, real. I saw beauty redefined, vulnerable. It was a narrative rewritten. And that's kind of the process for me. That's what it was. I shared a story. I'm telling people, this is what it is. This is what happened to me. I'm broken. I'm sick, etc. And the response that I was getting from people is, wow, you're so brave for telling the story. This is really tough that you shared this. And you're so strong and resilient for having gone through this and being able to share it with people. And having that perspective reflected back to me was when I was able to start seeing the beautiful parts of things and that being vulnerable is being strong. That's how things started to become a narrative rewritten.
What is it like for you when you are working with someone and you see results? They talk, you work all of this out, or you try to work everything out, putting things in perspective and figure out what the next step is in their lives. How rewarding is that when you can see, you know, the book is one thing and it's touching people and they may write, they may not write and say how helpful it has been. But when you have them in your practice, how rewarding is that to actually see progress being made, progress that might not have been made if it weren't for you and what you've been doing?
Honestly, that is, I tell my clients this all the time, it's one of the happiest moments for a clinician to see our clients like thriving. And one of the things that I tell my clients all the time is celebrate the small things, celebrate the small wins. So sometimes we'll do something as silly as have a little dance party at the end of session to be like, wow, you did that. Like, you did that. That's amazing. Just really emphasizing, celebrating every single moment.
If someone is listening and going through problems and they can relate to what you've gone through in life, what do you hope the takeaway is for them from reading the book, from listening to our conversation today?
What I would hope that people would be able to take away is that they're not alone. If they do feel like they want to talk to somebody and get it out of them, they can, even if they're the ones that have to be the one that put it out there by writing, but also that there is help out there and that there are people who do know how to support them and provide them with that language so that they can help themselves. So I think the number one thing that I would want people to get from this is that you're not alone. You're not the only one that's had this experience. And there's community out there for you in order for you to heal and thrive.
Let's talk. We've got a few minutes left in the program. I want to talk about where we are now as a society. Is it more difficult to come out and to seek help and to be open and to talk? Or is that now difficult because of the mood of the country, at least some of it seems to be changing?
That's a really interesting question. I would say, just based on my experience as a therapist, I feel more people are seeking therapy now than ever before.
Good.
I think things are difficult, very much so, but I think people are less, there's less stigma around seeking support for mental health, identifying that you may or may not be dealing with anxiety, depression, or some sort of trauma. So yes, we are dealing with a very difficult time, but I think more people are willing to go and get the help that they need.
How difficult is it to make that first step? What holds people back from coming and seeing people like yourself to get that help? What is that first hurdle they have to overcome in order to open up and to seek help?
Yeah, I think fear is one of the biggest hurdles. Fear that if they start talking about it, they're going to be overwhelmed by it, or it's going to completely derail their lives, that maybe they felt like they've gotten to a stable place by not talking about it, and that if they start talking about it, it's going to destabilize their lives, or that they're going to be in a crisis. And one thing that I like to say, especially when I'm initially meeting with a survivor or a client that I just started working with, is that yes, it may feel destabilizing, but you're so brave for being here, and that fear doesn't need to control you. Because once you start talking about it, the power there of being able to take back your story is so strong.
What is on tap for you in terms of writing? You've done such a wonderful job with this book, A Narrative Rewritten. Are you working on something else?
I am, actually.
Good.
I'm working on, it's personal, same in this way, but it's going to be about my life and my connection with my mother and my siblings. And I wrote a little bit about my mom in this book, A Narrative Rewritten, but it's going to be a much more in-depth look at my relationship with my mother and just my entire life up to this point.
How far are you into this? How are you coming so far?
It's coming. It's pretty slow. I'm at the beginning right now. I have an idea of where it's going, but the actual process of getting it out, it takes its time. It comes when it comes.
And when it does, please keep us in mind, because I'd love to carry on a conversation and talk about that. The time has gone by so quickly on the program today. Makaya Walker has been our guest. The book is A Narrative Rewritten, A Collection of Personal Writings for Adult Survivors of Childhood Incest and Sexual Abuse. You'll find the book wherever books are sold, published by Gotham Books, Inc., and I thank them for arranging our conversation today. Gotham Books, a premier self-publishing company helping authors bring their literary dreams to life. You'll find the book there. And, of course, at Makaya's website, that's MICHAIAWalker.GothamBooksInc.com. .com/book. You'll find in the book section there. And you can just go to thisweekinamerica.us, click on her website, and you'll be able to get there to get information on the book. And the book, once again, is A Narrative Rewritten. Makaya, it's been a pleasure having you on the program, sharing your story, helping so many people. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. I really appreciate your time and your questions. They were so thoughtful.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. A very important message, and I hope we'll be able to do this again. And once again, you can find information on the book and the guest on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America. Today's program will continue right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.